Foxtrot Hotel Juliet, Gene in Taylor's. Negative and negative, over.
KO4HKX in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. And we'd like to welcome Mr. Gene, W4FHJ, down there in Taylor's. Gene, good to hear you tonight, sir, and thank you for stopping by. And Larry, I'm going to see if we got any check-ins, and then I'll be right to you, sir. Check-ins, Alpha through Zulu, please call KO4HKX. If I'm being heard, we'll move on up to our next participant on the stump, and that is Mr. Larry, KK4JVQ. Please call KO4HKX.
4HKX in the net. This is KK4JBQ. Well, good evening, Patrick. I've got to say, that conversation about Meshtastic, I think it was called, was interesting. I'm completely ignorant about it, so I'm always open to learn about new things. Don't know that I have an application personally. Don't get me wrong, but I like to listen to people who are enthusiastic about what they're doing. And these guys, I guess you guys, sound enthusiastic. KK4JBQ.
As I told you, I went down a rabbit hole, and there it is, fascinating what you can do with this little bitty chip, what it's capable of. And it can relay messages a couple miles. It's like using an HT, so it's line of sight. But, I mean, you think about the applications of that on your property. Like if you want to monitor something on your property, but you don't, it's, you know, on the other side. Let's say you got 30, 40 acres and you want to monitor something over there, you can do that. It's capable of doing that. If you want to put up and build your own weather station, it's capable of doing that. And then sending it back to the internet and away it goes, or you can just have it for you. You don't have to have it on the internet. I've just scratched the surface on it, and I was pretty fascinated by it.
Good to scratch the surface. I've spent my life scratching the surface of things. But just curious, just mentioned one thing that might be an issue, probably isn't. I just wondered how frequency agile it is, whether it uses anything like rolling spectrum. Oh, for instance, garage doors use that group of frequencies. And I think some other legacy stuff, 900 megahertz used to be used for all cell phones, for one thing. But I do think my garage door, its frequency is actually rolling, and the opener and the garage door somehow keep track of one another. That was the only thing that concerned me. It sounds interesting. KK4JBQ.
HKX in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Well, Larry, I have not got that far into it, how it does that. I think it does any kind of frequency spectrum hopping or anything like that. It may. That may be part of the encryption on it. I haven't even done anything with that part of it. So I can't answer that question. But that would be a good thing. And I remember when cordless phones used to be in the 900 megahertz, and you could ride around with a scanner and listen to people talk on their cell phone or on their cordless phones in their house. Cell phones have been on there. 900 megahertz is kind of a weird spectrum there, where it's open, parts of it are open to anybody, and then other parts are businesses, and it's chopped up pretty good. So you got to really pay attention to where you're at.
Well, that's one thing about human endeavors. We are such a curious bunch, and very little gets by. So once we discovered all along about those days where Marconi figured he wanted to talk across the Atlantic Ocean, we were going to put all this spectrum, you know, we're talking about everything from to a whisper, as being human beings have put it to use. They're keeping it all straight. I know there's technology that does that, and frequency hopping, as you gave me the words I should have been using. That's one of the things that helps out. Well, if I may, I'll jump on into something that I wanted to mention, what I was doing yesterday, and just today, since I don't like to, unless I cannot avoid it, I don't like to give a great deal of effort on the Sabbath. I'm one of those guys. But today I checked out some effort that I made yesterday to cool down a piece of audio equipment. It's actually audio and video. And this thing, I've got an infrared sensor. It's a little pistol type of thing, and it shoots a beam of infrared light, returns back to the pistol. It's just shaped that way, and reports the temperature. So, since I suspected this piece of equipment to be the issue, I shone the light on the top of the piece of equipment, and it read 95 degrees. Now, the ambient temperature in the room is 72 or abouts, you know. So 95 degrees was warm, right? And then I went to the bottom. I lifted this little thing and shot the bottom of it. It was 145 degrees. So that's enough to interfere with it, with electronic stuff. So I came up with a muffin fan and a couple of, this thing only sat about an eighth of an inch off the bottom of a wooden shelf. Wood will retain heat and release it. You know what I'm saying? It adds to the problem. So I made some little feet, little squares actually, and of wood, and put them right under the feet, all four of them, to lift it up. So now it's up about an inch and a half. Plenty of room for air to circulate. And the muffin fan that I put in back of the cabinet, that's going to blow air across it. So this heat issue just knocked this piece of equipment out. It would just erratically go away. And I'm hoping that it's not been damaged. Heat is not good for electronic equipment, you know. Everything from computers to, well, everything doesn't like to tolerate heat, but it generates heat. It's got to get rid of it. KK4, JBQ.
4HKS and Blue Ridge Community Internet. Larry, yes, you're correct on that. Electronics, they generate heat no matter what they're doing, other than sitting idle, unplugged. And that's why you see these big heat sinks on a lot of things, is trying to get rid of that heat. And yeah, wood is a good absorber of heat. So you don't want something sitting right directly on it. You want to keep it up off of it and give it some room to breathe, if at all possible. And putting the tin under there and putting a little feed on it will help with that for sure. So hopefully you got it taken care of. And yeah, I have to watch my radio, the one I use during the day, for crossband repeat. If somebody gets on a repeater and they have a pretty lengthy conversation, it will shut my radio down because it's got too hot from the duty cycle on it. So, and I'm running at very low wattage because I don't need it to go far. So I've got it turned down as far as I can turn it down, but it still will heat up fairly quickly.
Expected that perhaps you would turn this back around to amateur radio, being that we use electronic devices. They create heat. They don't like that heat. So keeping air moving is the one thing that's always worked for me. If the ambient air is a great deal less, heat will move to cold. That's, I don't know which law of thermodynamics that is, but it is something you can expect to happen. Heat moves to cold. So just introducing some room temperature air to that device. I didn't report my findings. So what was 95 on the top is now 78. It's just a little bit above ambient temperature. And the bottom is 98. I might have to consider a little more, another more aggressive move. I don't know. It might tolerate 98 degrees. It was not going to tolerate 190. So, I think I've done my work. I really do. And this thing is important. We use it to communicate. It communicates a necessary piece of information to the DVR that we use. And it made it impossible to later watch a recorded video when Donna and I sit down to have our meal and watch a little television. There's just no signal, so it can't record anything. This thing wipes that out. It's ahead of the DVR, so it's got to function. Anyhow, I had a long talk with our service provider, and they didn't have any suggestion at all. It's before I knew what my temperatures were. But I suspected, since it was hot to the touch, that might be the culprit. And I knew it was the culprit after I determined what the surface temperature of the top and the bottom were. So anyway, those are the results, and I'm happy. I hope everyone has a good night and a good upcoming week. Everyone's talked about the warming temperatures. I have to admit that I have been so pleased with the temperatures in the 80s midday that we've enjoyed for the last week or 10 days. That has been a joy, and I've gotten a few things done outside. But everyone take care. Everyone going to the Ham Fest, take along a bottle of water. You know, with a screw top on it so you can sip it through the day. Just watch out for, you know, the heat effects that is affecting your brain when you feel a little woozy. Patrick, thank you for being there and bringing us all together. We'll turn it back to you. This is KK4JBQ, 73 to all.
Good to talk to you tonight. Always a pleasure, and thank you for coming by here and hanging out with me for a few minutes. And I hope you have your problem or concern remedied there, and you don't have to do anything else to it. That takes care of it for you. But with that, we're going to see if we got any more late check-ins on the second shift here. Alpha through Zulu, Alpha through Zulu. Please call KO4HCAT.
LZI's got a comment.
Andy.
He was saying, and y'all, some of you already know, 900 megahertz is amateur cordless phones, weather stations, but just out of curiosity, for anybody that's curious, because to have a transceiver to operate there, you got to have pretty much more. There's a voice repeater up on Caesar's Head, 927-7125. That's the output frequency. 927-7125. There's one on Glassy Mountain. It's linked up to that 440 machine that's up there. It's 927-5125. I know those repeaters are there. That's one thing about 900 megahertz. If you're in a bad location, you won't hear it. Here where I live, every once in a while I'll hear those repeaters, but it's very rare. But yeah, I can get into this two-meter repeater at the drop of a hat, so 900 megahertz is... You better be looking at whoever you're trying to communicate simplex with for them to hear you, because otherwise, you ain't going to hear anybody. Back to you there, KI4LZI.
That band, from what I can find, it's multi-use, and we're secondary on it. And there is a company, I can't remember the name of the company, that is partitioned the federal government, the FCC, to take that band and use it for their, whatever they're looking for. So if anybody's interested in that, you might want to look it up. I can't remember what the name of it was or what they were trying to do, but they wanted the 900 megahertz band to for the business stuff of it, and they FCC is actually listening to them to appeal on it this time. So if anybody wants that little piece of information there, but you'll have to go look it up. I just thought about that when Andy said that. So that is something to look into if you actually are on those bands using those. And Andy, I have a hard enough time getting into this FM repeater here on 2 meters. I haven't even messed with 900 megahertz because I knew it was going to be very much line of sight. That's just the way it works. So I appreciate you coming by here with that information.
In a while, when the conditions get good, I might hear one of those 900 megahertz amateur repeaters, but most of the time it's in the winter, and even then the conditions has to be just right for me to hear those amateur repeaters here, but I can bust this one with a half a watt if I wanted to. That one, being at 900, it's a very rare thing to hear, and you got to have pretty much Motorola type equipment. And you're right about the other. I've heard people on cordless phones at 900. And if you look around, a lot of these commercial weather stations operate up there as well. It's all multi-user. That you was talking about somebody petitioned for. I once didn't know it, but when you go to do this band, like Chris is doing and some of the others, they got to be looking right at who they're doing when they're doing it sight to sight, so to speak, without repeat, because it's very short range. KI4LZI.
Before HKX and Blue's 2 meter net. Yeah, it's a limited range band, and that's the good thing about the LoRa, the mesh-tastic nodes that we're talking about. Is they're very low wattage and they don't travel very far. I think on a good day, 1 to 3 miles is what it says, and you know how that goes. If you get a mile out of it, you're doing good, in my guess. The works good for, like, what I was interested in it for is small network communications and that kind of thing, because there's very limited what they can do and what they are capable of. But like monitoring some property, that I have a piece of property that's in the same county that I am, that I would like to monitor what's going on up there, that kind of thing for me. So that's kind of why I was interested in it. It caught my interest. It does have some communication because it's gaining steam, and from what I can find, it's been around about 4 years. That's about the information I started seeing back about 4 years ago on it. And there have been some leaps and bounds of advancements in the technology and what it's capable of in that amount of time.
Until I heard y'all talking about it, I ain't even heard of the name of it. I've known about how the 900 megahertz band is, Ben. I've had scanners with it on it, and I know of a couple of people that put voice repeaters on those that I mentioned a while ago on 900 megahertz. But, and I know from hearing the cordless phones and read with weather stations on it. So, as you say, you got to be very, as Larry's saying, very frequency specific with your gear so that you don't drift over into something you shouldn't. Kind of like what they said way back before our time in the hobby. A lot of gear way back used to have the tendency to drift. A lot of the vacuum tube stuff. And when it would drift over off of frequency. You don't want to be doing that in a band where you're not the only occupant of the band. And that's how, at this moment, 900 is. KI4LZI.
And those phones that you're hearing on there, they're old phones. So don't worry about it. The new phones are not in the 900 megahertz band anymore. They moved them on up. So if you've got an old cordless phone where you actually had to pull the antenna out of it, and you know, it's been around since the late 70s, early 80s when it first come out, then you just keep that in mind, that people could listen to what you were saying, but not so much anymore with the new ones. They're beyond 900 megahertz.
This is way back, even before I had my ham life. Like I said, I've had something like it here ever since the late 70s. And you're right about all that. These repeaters that's up on 900 hadn't been around here all that long. They're up there, but like I said, different from this 2 meter repeater we're on and 900 on Caesar's Head. The frequency range and how it is makes all the difference in the world.
And I done a quick search while we were talking there, Andy, and NextNav is the one petitioning the FCC to do 5G terrestrial positioning, navigation, and timing network on the 900 megahertz. That's what they're trying to do, is some kind of global positioning system on the 900 megahertz, and NextNav is the one doing that. But it is open to do that. I just pulled it up here. August the 6th of this year is when they public notice come out. So you might want to write in there and tell the FCC that, hey, we use the 900 megahertz band if you are doing something in there, because they're trying to take it over. And yeah, the old phones is what you had to worry about there, Andy. None of the new stuff. I think the new stuff's up 2.4 in the wireless band there, and it's spectrum hopping like Larry and I were talking about earlier. A lot of them are. They're encrypted now, so they could do away with that ease of listening in on stuff.
I've experimented over years with a lot of this stuff, even before I got my ham life, like that mixture of such things and that. Some of these big metro areas, what I've heard others more experienced than me saying, say like 927-71-25 Caesar's Head and 927-50-125 on Glass Mountain outside of Pickens. In some of these big metro areas, that works fine. After all, it's just above 800 megahertz, so it works fine in places like that. But in these areas here, like sometime it's come winter, but it'll be sparse when I hear it then, and now there's no way to hear it. Well, this here on 2 meters. Well, right now I'm not on HT, but if I'm on HT, I could get in the right X and put my HT on a half watt and still get into it, just rub a duck. As amateurs, as we all know, the frequency dictates the range pretty much, and 800, 900 pretty much is for big city areas, metro areas pretty much. KI4LCI.
That. Well, Andy, I am going to move on and see if we got any more check-ins, and if you don't have anything else to add, that way I can get this net shut down, because 4 a.m. is coming awful quick for me.
That's pretty much all I got to say. I hadn't even thought about that until they was talking about 915 megahertz, and I got to thinking about all this other. I hadn't even thought about it until they said it. So go ahead. KI4LCI, clear.
Andy, thank you for coming by and rag-chewing with us for a little bit and bringing that information along. But right now, we're going to see if we got any more check-ins. Alpha through Zulu, Alpha through Zulu, please call KO4HKX. All right, with that pause, have I missed anyone for check-ins or comments? Invite you back tomorrow night. Mr. Duncan, KO4JKV, will be calling the Monday Night Net. And I know he would love to have you come over there and join him and check into his net. It's always interesting. I know John usually comes by and gives the reports on the stars and the solar flares and all that going on. So, hey, it's always a good thing to listen to, because that stuff does affect our radios and our ability to communicate. But I'm going to send my net report, and I will be back shortly. KO4HKX now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for check-ins, we will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 7-3 and good night to all. KO4HKX, clear.